News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, you know what? Must be Saturday morning.
It's Saturday.
Hey, you know what? It's hot as can be already. Oh, my God. Welcome here.
A friend of mine, we were talking, she's in Austin, and we were both going, yeah, we're ready for fall.
I'm ready for Christmas. Hey, life in the fast lane, Melissa Sargent. Good morning. You having a good day?
Yes, I am. And you?
Oh, I'm doing well. We got all kinds of things going on here. We got this radio show about history. And if you want to do a favor to a friend, get them online to look at us. Mm-hmm. Across the country, somewhere they can find us, but right, of course, 690 AM on the transmitter. Where across the country can they find us?
Well, they can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link, and they can listen to us anywhere on the planet.
They really could. And then ktsmradio.com, that's a big deal there. Also, our new normal, we're not going to do trivia for a while. Frankly, people have told me they think it takes us away generally from the topic. So what we'll do, if you have a question or a comment on topic, and we think it's wonderful, then you get a Pepe's coupon.
There you go.
It's totally arbitrary, but so what?
And you can call or Facebook us on that.
So. And if you Facebook us and we like what you said, we'll get you a coupon. We have to sign you up still, like always. But that's another whole matter entirely. So you got Mission Del Rey going on.
Well, Mission Del Rey, we've got that weekly $20 radio show giveaway, and it's for the first 5 listeners who use the coupon code checkout. And that word this week has been the same all along, is history.
What a surprise.
That's right. Woo! Must be redeemed online. It's a $20 minimum purchase, and shipping is required or curbside pickup still. I think they're limited on, you can get an appointment to go in and see them. But head on over to missiondelray.com.
Oh, you should go in there. The phone number's on that website. But the thing is, go in there. They've doubled their showroom size. Used to be straight up. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of spread out a little bit. And there's two huge spaces that they got there. So that's a good place, missiondelray.com. Okay, you have got a history momento.
Yeah, let's head back to the Mexican Revolution history. We're going to talk a little bit about General Pascual Orozco and his red flaggers, or Colorados.
You have to trill that R.
Orozco. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to trill this R for the lady who's coming on the radio show, Adair Margo. Hey, we got her on the radio today, and we got her on now. Good morning, Miss First Lady. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Jackson.
Good
morning, Melissa.
How is it being First Lady? What's that all about? I mean, your husband's the mayor, and so you get to go to neat stuff, or not? I guess nowadays you don't.
Well, I what I think is I get to shine a brighter light on the extraordinary place where I live, El Paso. So that's my reason, is to have a little bit of more of a spotlight to shine a light on this community of Ciudad Juarez, El Paso, and Las Cruces.
You got a good one today, because we're talking about Lydia Patterson Institute. And on the phone with us now also is Socorro de Anda, president of Lydia Patterson. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackson and Melissa.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you after so many years
your
show.
Well, welcome
it's good
here.
Good to be here.
Well, when Adair cooks up something, people usually listen, so we're part of that. And she's got a book about your wonderful institution there. And she's also added another person on the show today, an historian. And should we call you Mario Sanchez? Good morning.
Good morning, Jackson. Yes, please do so.
Mr. Mario
Good
Sanchez.
Good morning to everybody there. It's an honor to talk to you this morning.
Also, you are in the book as a former student of Lydia Patterson Institute.
Yes, I am. It's also, a great happiness to be part of the book and to also be part of the Lydia Patterson community.
Also, you're calling us from Juarez, so we're going to blame that for why your phone call sounds a little murky. But speak directly into the phone if you don't mind. Well, that should work for us. We got a lot to talk about here, because Lydia Patterson is an institute in El Paso, but a lot of people don't know what it is. Who wants to take a look and explain that for us? Adair, you wrote the book.
I wrote the book. I don't know if you want to start with today, with our president, who's been there for over 35 years, and then I can talk a little bit about how it began.
The history,
yes. Do you
think
that sounds like a good way?
There we go. And Ms. DeAnda, why don't you explain what is it that we have there? And it's down near the border.
Well, it's first of all, I'm going to kind of leave the history to Adair,
yeah.
who has done a lot of work and put in a lot of work in writing about the beginning of Lydia Patterson. But I'm just going to say a little bit about this is a school that started back in 1913, of course, a school that was gone through a lot of changes, started off as a school for boys only. Started off as a school for training young men for the ministry, did that for a while, then went co-ed. In the early 60s, the school no longer needed a ministerial program because the United Methodist Church had changed its protocols to requiring that students that wanted to go into the ministry had to go to seminary. So therefore, the school went to be just a day school. Did away. It was a boarding school when it started up until the 1960s. Did away with the boarding school, went to be a day school to serve mainly the El Paso Juarez community. It was a school that served grades 9 through 12, but it did always have a special English as a second language that had started with the initiation of the school back in the 1900s. So this is a school that has been known for teaching English to students of a non-English-speaking background. So that was a high school only. 5 years ago, we added a middle school. So now we've got grades 7 through 12, but we still have a special program that was designed by our own teachers, and some consultants, a special program that teaches students English when they arrive. But they also take the curriculum of the 7th and 8th grade and perfect their English all the way through the 12th grade until they graduate.
Now, this is
it's amazing.
It's a Methodist.
It's amazing how this,
It's a Methodist school. I want to make that clear. It's not Catholic.
No, it's a Methodist school. It is owned by the South Central Jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church that encompasses 8 states, the state of New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, and Louisiana.
Well, do you get support? Do you get support from all those regions?
Yes, yes. The school gets support from the local churches in each one of these conferences within this state.
Socorro, is it still a vote? Are you still involved with the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools? Is that the same organization then?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The United Methodist, the Board of Higher Education of schools, colleges, and universities is a part of the United Methodist Church. It is a general agency of the United Methodist Church. And I need to say that we are very, very fortunate to be a part of the United Methodist Church because we work very closely with the General Board of Higher Education that overlooks about 125 United Methodist colleges and universities throughout the country, including SMU and Boston and Duke and Emory. And all those schools are United Methodist. We work very closely with them in acquiring scholarships for our students so they could continue their education.
Is there any religious instruction involved?
Yes. Every student at Lydia Patterson is required to take 2 years of Bible, the class of Bible, in order to graduate. Then we also have chapel services every Wednesday. We have spiritual retreats for the students. We don't teach the Methodist religion. We try to give our students a good foundation of a spiritual foundation so that when they leave Lydia Patterson, that they have a sense of responsibility for themselves and for others. Okay. That is the main purpose.
I like that because that's kind of an inclusive way of people sharing their religion, but learning the history behind it versus just, you know, what they learn at church, going back if they're doing 2 years on the Bible.
I have to ask.
Yes.
I have to ask. Do you have that contest for your kids or your students where you look up a verse in the Bible, the first one gets there, wins?
I'm sure they do in their classes. I'm not familiar with that, but you know.
Mario, do you ever do that?
God knows what goes on in the classroom.
Mario Sanchez, did you ever have to do that as a student? Say, okay, everybody, look up Psalms 12, and everybody hustles to get through the Bible and find it. Did you ever do that?
I would imagine that they do in the religion classes.
That's why I'm asking Mario. Mario went through those. Did you do that?
Mario might know that.
Did we lose Mario?
There he is.
Let me tell you that the first time, I'm also a Catholic, but I have to also confess that the first time that I really read the Bible was when I went to Lydia Patterson.
Okay.
That's when you learn how many books there are and the history of the Bible. And you're introduced into reading the gospel, which is a great thing. You know, that's something that all Christians will do, you know, no matter what denomination.
Well, I just want to tell you.
It is a very serious thing, but I also want to say that it's a very respectful thing because it really, you know, the aim or the goal is to provide, you know, a common ground, Christian ground, throughout, you know, all religions, which is also stuff we need in the world so much. And especially in the border, you know, in the border, it's a wonderful thing to learn how to work in an ecumenical setting, even though and that's why I respect so much the Methodist Church, because I was able to go through an education and learn a lot about Christianity. I met a lot of congruent, you know, Christians. Some of the most congruent Christians that I know, you know, are Methodists. And I have very close friends, you know, some of them even, you know, very high in the hierarchy of the Methodist Church. And it's a wonderful experience. And it's an experience that is also that prepares you to live in the border, you know, because you have to be able to work in a setting like a border that where we live. You have to be willing and able to work among people that think different, that are of different religions and very different cultural views. So I found out that this is a very, very enriching experience.
Cool. You know? They did not try to convert you, did they?
No. No,
I'm just curious.
It's a free thing. You know, it's something that, you know, they converted me in terms of, I think, becoming a better Christian.
Okay,
and they were. I think they were successful with that because I tried to live under the principle of Christianity.
You're banging your phone.
Some of my friends,
Mario, we can't hear you.
Mario, you're banging your phone or something. Hold still, if you could.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, that's a lot better. What'd you do?
Better.
Put it close to your mouth. I don't want to miss anything Mario says.
Exactly.
So Mario.
Yeah.
Speak up.
Yeah, you talk right into the phone and don't walk around with it if you can help it. I do have to just finish that subject because it happened to me. I mean, we had the Bible class. Well, they get you and say, okay, go to Isaiah 4. And all of a sudden you have to go, just so you know, if you put your thumbs in the middle of the book of the entire Bible and you open it up, you're going to be in Psalms. Just so you know. You start from there and you go forward or backward. No big deal. You guys didn't know that, though, did you? Aha! So there. So other than that, I don't know much. I don't know much about the history of your work. I did go through studying the Bible when I was a kid, and it's a fascinating thing to do. But when you take it as a course, Mario, how what do they do? How do you teach the Bible? What do they do?
Well, you know, I was very fortunate because my Bible teachers were very, you know, their humanity was so big. That they always taught the Bible with a big smile, and it's an interesting, you know, subject as an academic subject. It's very interesting because, especially if you come from the Mexican culture, it's not something that you do very frequently. So you know, the approach is a lot like history, you know, like how you teach history, and once you know if the history teacher is an interesting person and makes the you know relates the history or the story in a entertaining way, then you start getting you know interested and involved and through games and experiences and preparing the chapel service and going to retreat every year or you know very frequently,
or having a lot of activities, so, you know, after school activities, you know, you were convinced that it is an important subject. So it's a beautiful experience. You know, I still remember, you know, some of the classes that I remember the most was with Mr. Williams at my time, a very, you know, old guy that used to teach us, you know, Bible, and also Mr. Campbell and Mr. Cole. And I keep them very close to my heart because, you know, that in that class, it was not only learning the Bible, but was how to apply it in real life and how to apply it in your adolescent and student life.
Well, that's a better thing to do.
You know, it becomes a great, you know, a great experience.
Well, that's
that you will remember.
Applying the lessons of the Bible is the big deal. But yeah. We got to take a break here. Y'all stick tight. But when we come back, Mari, at some point, explain to me what they taught you about the differences in the first four books of the New Testament, because there are very similar things, and there's one that's very different. So I'll ask you about that after the break. But y'all stick there. We've got a Dear Margo, First Lady of El Paso. She is the one who wrote the book. And the full title of your book, Adair, is?
Voices of La Lidia, the History of Lidia Patterson Institute. So it's through the voices of people. It's all told in the first person from John Wesley forward.
And that's not John Wesley Hardin. That's another guy.
That's John Wesley, the founder of Methodism.
I know.
Who John Wesley's named after.
But the gunfighter got his name from that.
Exactly. Oh, there are a lot of John Wesley named after.
Can you imagine that?
Well, Wesley Hardin's father was a minister. I think he was Methodist.
Well,
also.
That's how this stuff goes here. All right. And also, we got Socorro Dienda, and she is the president of the Lidia Patterson Institute. And the guy you heard there mostly at this point was Mario Sanchez, a student. And Mario, you're actually an historian in Juarez, too, right?
Well, I like to write about local history. You know, I'm publishing books about local history.
That's what I thought.
A lot of investigations.
All right, we'll catch up with
about
you.
El Paso del Norte from this side, you know, and
sure.
And I love this. I'm also interested. I do not consider myself a historian. I consider myself a Juarense that is interested in history.
A student of history. There you go. All right.
I like to investigate and write about it.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Can we assign you some subjects to look into, maybe? We'll see about that.
No, sure.
Okay. Well, after the break, we'll talk about all this stuff. But thank you, guys. Hold on there. We'll get back in a minute. But we can take one. We have one phone line left if you want to call us or Facebook us.
Yeah, maybe we'll hear from some of the past students here. The number's 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
A grand in your hand.
That would help out a ton.
Winner.
Amazing.
After winner.
This will be very helpful.
After winner.
Definitely keep me going until I hopefully go back to work soon.
You could be next.
This helps a lot.
Your chance to win $1,000 is coming up. Brought to you by Comfort Keepers. In life, you learn an important message. Your age doesn't define you. You do. Comfort Keepers. Elevating the human spirit. ComfortKeepers.com.
When asked, over 50% of iHeartRadio listeners said they plan to spend more at hardware or home improvement stores this summer. So visit iHeartAdBuilder.com to get your business advertised on radio and reach shoppers as they start their home improvement projects.
We're living in a new world, and it's time to get back in the driver's seat. It's time to elevate, and Viva will help open that new chapter.
And don't worry, we'll work together to get you the best deal since we have the best selection.
With Viva, you become part of something special. Your life plans may have changed, but we are here to help you embrace them. Viva doesn't just deliver a car or truck. Viva delivers the opportunity to move forward, elevate your lifestyle.
At Viva, our service team is dedicated to providing quality service that will make sure you and your vehicle are safe on the road.
At Viva, you don't just buy the car, you buy the experiences and memories you make. Like seeing your 2020 graduate walk into his new car, or opening the door to the next chapter of your life. Are you ready to start making memories? Elevate with Viva and welcome to this brand new world.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
The major subject today is Lydia Patterson Institute. We've got three guests by phone. Another a caller comes in. That's all the lines we got, so we'll deal with that in a minute. But we're going to tell you a couple things in the meantime about the History Radio Show. We are on Facebook, and Melissa, you're monitoring that, right?
Yes, I am.
And many people did we have up there? I got 5,762.
Wait, hold on. Let me get over the page.
It may be
I'm looking at our guests, too. Let's see. Here
5,762 people reached.
Yep, 5,782. Yes.
Okay.
Interested people.
It jumped up 20 since I looked at that earlier. All right. Anyway, that's on Facebook. Take a look at that promo. And we are we put a lot of information out there during the week so you can see what we have coming up. We also have a TV channel where you can see free videos about El Paso history. It's the El Paso Gold DVDs that I have produced for the last 20 years. I got 12 of them online for free to take a look at. The full videos are there. YouTube.com/El Paso History TV, including DVD documentaries of all kinds. And I don't have one on Lydia Patterson. That should have been done maybe, but anyway.
Yeah, next time. Next round.
We do have, that's one playlist on there. There's 120 some odd videos, and we cut up two playlists. Another playlist at YouTube.com/El Paso History TV is all the stuff we put on ABC 7. We had 20 different pieces that we put on there during the newscasts, and those aired up until June of this year. And Bernie Sargent, our reporter, did a great job there talking about things all over El Paso. So if you want to see what that's about, go to El Paso History TV on YouTube. Recent subscribers, JG, has popped in. And we told you last week about Carlos Mineo. So Facebook and El Paso History Radio Show, YouTube channel. And what did you got?
Well, we had a little fun adventure this last week. KTSM TV 9 they teamed up with Destination and Visit El Paso to do a series of short videos as part of the Destination Texas series to promote El Paso and other parts of Texas' rich history and cultural and recreation sites as a vacation destination. And it's not just for El Pasoans local, but the one they did for Concordia is going across the state of Texas. Now, they chose Concordia Cemetery as one of El Paso's historic sites to promote because with the changes and everything with the pandemic, you know, people are staying in-state and they're driving a lot. So we're trying to drive some of that traffic to visit us. And that's why they chose Concordia Cemetery. It's one of the most historic sites and one of the most visited historic sites in El Paso. So Erica Callahan and Johnny Munoz came out and filmed us at Concordia. And we got to share a little bit of history about the cemetery. And it was shown Thursday night, and now it's going across the state of Texas.
It's on Facebook. You can link it on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah, I'll put that link up. And also, it's a great way that they're promoting the town, and hopefully we're going to do more. So
it goes.
And they're promoting, like, the Plaza Hotel and different venues here in El Paso. So let's just say, hey, El Paso, we're out here.
We got First Lady Adair Margo on the phone online here and on the radio show. Book about Lydia Patterson Institute, and the Mario Sanchez, a student who went there, you're in a story and when you like it. And Mario, when you can, speak up a little louder. You got to yell when you're in Juarez.
Okay, I'll do that.
There you go. And then Socorro Deanda, president of Lydia Patterson. And we also have a caller named David on. We'll put David on now. David, what's on your mind?
Hi, I was listening to your show a few weeks ago, and you were mentioning something about Texas lawmen. And I was hoping you would mention Ernest St. Leon, but I didn't hear any mention of
Diamond
of
Dick.
That name.
We did. I think we did.
We brushed his name out there real quick, but we didn't talk much about him.
Well, you know what we might do in the future is a whole show on the guy, because I think he had some interesting
stories.
He was
a character.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. You take care.
In fact, I have a history moment I'll post up on that one sometime soon.
Okay. So back to the idea of the Lydia Patterson Institute. Adair, take a look at some of the history here. How did we get an institute like this in the middle of the Mexican Revolution, it shows up and establishes right on the border with Mexico. What was that about?
Well, you know, the Methodists, that's why the book goes all the way back to John Wesley, because they would go where there was need and there was suffering. I mean, from its foundation. In fact, you know, the Methodism was just a methodical. He was very methodical, John Wesley, about the way he went about his faith. You know, paying attention to the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And he split his time up, so he read the Bible. As Mario said, they still teach the Bible. You do the sacraments. And then you also reach out to those who are suffering. And here on the border, of course, at the time, of course, during Benito Juarez's tenure, church and state was hand in hand in Mexico, and Catholicism was a recognized religion. It was under Benito Juarez, for whom Juarez is named. He lived in Juarez in 1865. That's when they named Juarez after him, but he's the one who allowed Protestants into Mexico as missionaries. And a man named Corbin was the first missionary to Saltillo, originally from Tennessee, but a Methodist missionary. Well, during the Revolution, a lot of these refugees, they weren't only the poor and destitute like Jose Cisneros, who graduated from Lydia Patterson, but it was Methodist missionaries. It was the wealthy as well. And but because they had found such a lack of knowledge of the Bible in Mexico, there was this idea of starting a ministerial school where missionaries would find young men who had good voices or kind of a sweet spirit or would be good preachers of the Word of God and train them to be preachers in their own country.
That's how they did it. Okay.
So it taught preachers. It was to teach preachers, as Socorro said. But as you know, in 1913, when it started, it was based on the philanthropy of a man named Millard Patterson, who wasn't even a member of the Methodist Church. He had come in 1883. He joined a man named Julius Buckler as a lawyer. There were a lot of land claims, you know, a lot of legal work to do on the U.S.-Mexico border at that time, and he ended up marrying his widowed sister, Lydia Patterson. It was Millard Patterson who gave the money to start the school. He also started the first Christian church in El Paso. He really is the hero of the book, because without him, the school would not exist. And he invested in the railroad. He helped bring UTEP. He started the Humane Society. He started the Mexican YMCA, which was actually in the basement of Lydia Patterson. So he gave the money to the Methodist Church. And then they had this man named Corbin, who had been a missionary in Saltillo. He came up and then started the school, or got it off the ground. But most of the young, of course, they all had to leave Mexico, so they weren't down there finding young men who could preach the gospel. Everyone was coming here. In fact, they were flooding El Paso. There was a typhus epidemic. And so they looked around themselves. The young people that wanted to be preachers were so poor, most of them had third grade educations. Yet they had all these refugees. Among them were people who could afford to pay tuition. They were wealthy people. So they ended up starting a boarding school, and it was like this forever, where they combined regular students with ministerial students. And since the ministerial students tended to be the poor, they would cook and they would clean and they would do laundry and all those things. But that's something all the students do. They don't do laundry anymore. It's not a boarding school, but they still clean their school. So it's been this hybrid in just a response to the needs around them. They ended up taking girls as well. There was a woman's school called Effie Eddington. And the thing about both of these schools, Lydia Patterson and Effie Eddington, many people, as Socorro said, came to learn English. Some of them were wealthy. Some of them were very poor. And the ones who came to learn English who were poor, for instance, one of the Wu boys, their father sent them. They had a grocery store in Juarez so that he could learn English to serve to serve American tourists in a curio shop.
Wow. Oh,
that's why
go.
They came to the school, to learn English so they could work in a curio shop. And many of the girls who went to Effie Eddington that ended up merging with Lydia Patterson, they came to school to learn to speak English so they could be domestic helpers. But these Methodists wouldn't settle for that. These were children of God. They were to become the best that they could be because they were created for a purpose. And so the young Wu, who came to school to learn English, to work in a curio shop, ends up going to UTEP and becoming an engineer. And all of his brothers and his sister all became engineers. They helped build the Maquilas in El Paso.
That's right.
They helped build waterworks and electricity in our region. So it's just this extraordinary, I've probably gotten off subject, but it's just this extraordinary story of education and doing what's necessary, and it doesn't fit a certain pattern. You know, it was really communities in the schools because they had a YMCA there. They had literary clubs. They had all kinds of clubs and things like that. But it was a Mexican gathering place.
They met a need that was here. They knew about it because of the Mexican Revolution. That was the high time for strange things going on here. And I guess they saw a lot of refugees coming out of Mexico and took it upon themselves to help deal with that.
In fact, one of the first students had been riding with Pancho Villa. He was part of the Battle of Juarez. He got trapped and ends up on this side.
Ah.
He's jailed at Fort Bliss for 3 days, and they let him go. And he asked where the Mexican part of town was. And the man running the trolley pointed him down to the Segundo Barrio around Lydia Patterson, where there was Newark. I can't remember all that was there during the time. It's in my book. But there were other mission activities going on down there. But when he went down there, the first graduate, he goes by a church called El Mesías, and the man preaching in the church had been a missionary in San Luis Potosí, where he was from.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And his name was Reynolds, and he was the first president of Lydia Patterson, and he signed him up that very night to go to school there.
Plus, he probably got a place to live out of that.
He had a place to live.
All right, Dear Marco's on the phone here with us. We're talking about Lydia Patterson Institute. We've also got Socorro Deanda and Mario Sanchez. We got to take another break. We also want to mention that we have an email out there. You can either catch us on Facebook.com/ El Paso History Radio Show or EP History 690. EP History 690@gmail.com. Looking at that right now. Melissa, shall we take? You got anything coming in yet over there?
No, it's just pretty quiet. I mean, a lot of people are liking this show as usual. But,
oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that click on and say they don't want to hear the show.
They just want to hear. We like it. Okay.
We'll get back to it in a minute. Call us if you think you need to. That number is
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a podcast from the world's smartest and funniest comics and writers. It gets you caught up on the news without grinding you down.
There's so many like simultaneous threads of history that I feel like are coming together at once that I'm like, which one am I going to
pick? Yeah, let's live through all the history at once.
It sounds like a TikTok challenge. Live through all the history at once challenge.
Twice a day, they tell you everything you need to know about American culture without crushing your soul. Listen to The Daily Zeitgeist on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know what's not healthy? Stressing about work. Or maybe you're out of work. Stop. Hit reset. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home. Even if you have zero computer experience, go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. An emergency relief grant of up to $3,500 is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
The engines of El Paso History are funded by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services. He's a cool dude. He's also got stuff you can rent.
Ooh.
Think about that. If you're looking for anything like that, call him up, 588-1850. And what has yous got?
Well, Mission Del Rey, of course, has got merchandise available online at missiondelrey.com. Look at their extensive catalog, and you can have your gifts and decor items shipped anywhere in the world. But again, go to missiondelrey.com.
Big showroom. Call them up. It's on the website, and you can then get in there and see what's going
on.
Oh,
and don't forget the coupon. Get $20 off.
Is a biggie there. Okay, we've got a lot of questions coming in from various directions. Here's another one. Somebody wants us to ask Mario about a picture. In fact, it came in from Adair. Ask him about a picture of a laughing Jesus in his Bible teacher's office, Richard Campbell. What's that all about, Mario?
In top of the blackboard of the classroom, Mr. Campbell had a picture of Jesus that is not the common image that we have in our minds, because usually we have this very handsome man, usually white and blue-eyed, and, it's with a very solemn or very serious sometimes expression.
Always.
Somber.
And, yes, always.
The picture that Mr. Campbell... Hello, yes?
Yeah, he always... you're right. That's what the image usually is, the somber dude.
Yes. And the image that that Mr. Campbell had was a Mediterranean man, a person that looks more Arab and darker in skin tone. But a very special thing is that he was laughing in a big, way. In Spanish, we say a carcajada, with a big emotion, a big laugh. And it was a very human Jesus. And that image, of that Jesus, that is not as serious or sometimes as solemn, it's also necessary to discover, how Christ has that side, that human side. That's what we were going through, that experience of humanity inside the classroom.
Well, he was very
human.
That's
why we remember that image so much.
He was obviously very human. The one I remember is he threw the money changers out of the temple. That was kind of an event.
Absolutely,
it was a huge event.
He was a very complex man,
he knew what he was doing. That was an interesting thing. Let's ask a couple of things of Socorro. Socorro Deanda, your title is president. Is that what you are?
Yeah, that is correct.
You're not called principal?
No, I do have a principal under me.
Okay. So tell us, if you can, a couple of things. It's a Methodist school. How did you come to be hired there, and how long have you been there?
I have been there 35 years, Jackson.
Oh,
and when people ask me, how did you get there, or how did you decide to stay at Lydia-Patterson, my answer to them is, I don't think I made that decision. I think some higher being made the decision for me, because it was this very strange way that I got there. I was in the middle of changing jobs back in 1984, And I had gotten an offer by one of the maquiladoras, the twin plants here locally, to serve as their chief financial officer. Mm-hmm. And they had given me some time to think about it because I would be commuting between El Paso and Juarez, and wanted me to think about and make before making a decision. In the meantime, Lydia Patterson was needing someone to come and work in their accounting office and do some, needed quite a bit of work in setting things up and cleaning things up. And so I agreed to do that, but my intent was to stay there for 3 months, and I had made myself a promise. I started October 1st, and I made myself a promise that by the time that we would break for the Christmas holidays, that that office would be in top shape. It was sort of like a challenge, but there's a lot of work to be done there, and I came in, and I was working long hours, and every Wednesday, my assistant would ask me, Mrs. DeAnda, are you going to go to chapel today? Well, I didn't have time to go to chapel. I was too busy, you know, trying to get everything straightened out in the business office. So I would skip that. I said, no, I can't. I don't have time. So every Wednesday, she would ask me the same thing. And one day, I came in, and she said, Mrs. DeAnda, are you going to go to chapel today? Today is senior chapel. And I said, what is senior chapel? And she said, well, the seniors just returned from the spiritual retreat up in the mountains of Sacramento, and this is their time. This is their chapel. So I said, well, yeah, I'm going to go see what this is about. And to this day, I feel bad. I am ashamed that I had been there by that time, probably a couple of months, and I had not set foot inside the chapel.
I bet you go now.
Oh, yes, I do now. So I walked in there, Jackson. I walked in there, and I sat in the very back, and I saw those seniors coming up one by one and speaking before a chapel full of students, their own age, teenagers, and here they were standing up there talking about their experience with God, their personal testimonies. And I said, my God, if these kids can stand up there in front of their peers and talk this way, something good is happening here.
Yeah, that's neat.
So
yeah.
I walked out of there, and I walked straight to the business, to the then president, and I said, Reuben, I'm staying.
Ah, convinced you.
Amazing.
That was 35 years ago. And, you know, Jackson, if I had to do that all over again, I would do the same thing because the work that is done there is just amazing. It's amazing because you need to understand that Lydia Patterson is a school that serves mainly, well, 70% of her students come from across the border, but half of those students are U.S. citizens, born here and raised across the border. And I don't have to explain that to you because you know that that's very common on the border. So these are students that do not speak the language, that eventually are going to end up in the United States, and we want to make sure that they're well prepared so that they come, you know, good contributors to society. So this is a very important work of the school.
Oh yeah,
but we also serve students that come from, and this is because of the mission of the school, because of the mission of the United Methodist Church, because of its origin to help the people that were in need. We also have a special program with scholarships to help those students that perhaps would not have an opportunity to even go to school.
Wow. Okay. I got one quick question. One quick question for you before we go to break. We'll take one more break this hour. But the question I have is, with the border situation as it is, do a lot of your students have trouble getting to school back and forth?
Not right now. We're not having, but we've had periods where, because of changes in government regulations, where they might have had problems getting a student visa. And right now, at this point, they don't have any problems coming across. If they had to come across, of course, we started school and we're online only.
Oh, okay.
But they really don't have a problem coming across. We have a very good relationship also with U.S. Immigration Because the school has been here so long that, you know, they see him in the uniform and they recognize him.
Yeah, they know who
the
you are.
The problem right now is parents coming across. Those are the ones they can't come across right now.
Interesting stuff. All right, taking a break here with the subject is Lydia Patterson Institute, a book written by Adair Margo, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. 544-5876
or 544-KTSM.
With over 19 years of experience in the El Paso real estate market, Patrick Tuttle has successfully navigated the ups and downs of uncertain markets, including the last recession, and he can assist you in buying or selling in the current market. Call him today, 915-588-1850.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me. Call me today at 915-588-1850. 588-1850.
And we'll return to our regular programming after these messages from our sponsors.
Bring your business out of the dark ages with the best in digital products from iHeartMedia. Reach your customers in every way using the tools and strategies of today. OTT, location-based geofencing, audience display banners, targeted email, streaming audio, and more. Get it all from iHeartMedia. Call 915-351-5473 and come join the conversation with iHeartMedia.
You know, I used to think that Medicare was one big complex mystery. What's covered? What's not? Then I made one phone call to United Healthcare and got the answers I needed. In one call, I learned I could combine my Medicare coverage into a single plan for little or no extra money. With the AARP Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare, I get more coverage than original Medicare. My prescription drugs are included, plus other great benefits like dental and 24/7 virtual doctor visits with zero copays. Plus, it's the only plan with the AARP name. So if you are turning 65 or have questions about the mysteries of Medicare, make that one call to United Healthcare at 1-855-283-2895. That's 1-855-283-2895. Or go to GetUHCMedicareToday.com.
Paid actor portrayal, benefits and availability may vary by plan and location. United Healthcare Insurance Company pays royalty fees to AARP for the use of its intellectual property. AARP and its affiliates are not insurers. AARP does not employ or endorse agents, producers, or brokers.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a podcast from the world's smartest and funniest comics and writers. It gets you caught up on the day's news without grinding you down. Twice a day, they discuss all you need to know without crushing your soul. Listen to The Daily Zeitgeist on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, this is Paige Renee, and I have a podcast called Playing Around. I give you a raw, unfiltered look behind the scenes of not only the golf world, but share some hilarious personal stories. We cover everything from sports all the way to dating advice. Nothing is off limits, and we never stay in bounds. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts. But don't take our word for it. Listen to Playing Around on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2020 election is being called our most important in years. From now till Election Day on November 3rd, iHeartRadio is turning over the airwaves on our radio stations, our podcasts, and even the iHeartRadio app to give you the opportunity to answer one simple question. Why I'm voting.
This is Dan and Shay. As citizens, it's our responsibility to actively exercise our right to vote.
To share why you're voting this November, go to iHeartRadio.com/vote. Why I'm voting. The countdown to Election Day. Your vote is your voice.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on here. A couple things just to let you know. The guy who called up earlier about a lawman, Diamond Dick, call back and give Andrew the phone number.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa wants to talk to
him about
a future show we might do. So if that was you, call back. Who was that? That was David, was it? Yeah, it was David.
Yes.
Ring up.
David,
ring back if you don't mind. Also, we're looking at emails here. This is ephistory690@gmail.com if you want to do an email. Or the Facebook, there's a place to just put comments on there. And one more thing. I ran into somebody on the phone this week who knew Cleophas Kareos. And I'd like to encourage them to help get involved and tell a story about him. I'm going to contact them hopefully next week and maybe get a subject going about him.
He was the first, I think, the first real published historian for El Paso.
He was an amazing guy. Yeah. I just want to ask this Lydia Patterson crowd, was he ever part of your world there in Cleophas Carreos, Socorro?
I'm not certain, Jackson. I don't know.
He sounds like the kind of guy who would have been. He was very outgoing. It sounded like he'd been well trained.
Oh, amazing.
And he knew all
man.
About El Paso and its history and stuff like that. So, no, I was.
Jackson, this is Adair. I think he was primarily. I don't think he wrote anything about Lydia Patterson. I never found anything.
No.
He
but
did a lot on the mission in Juarez and a lot of our Catholic history.
Well, I just was curious. Was he a student there at one point?
He was a Catholic. So he would have probably gone. Either taught in the public schools
but they have a lot of Catholics in that school.
No, I know, but at that time, I think he was with it. Yeah.
Just a question there. All right, where do we want to go from here? Because there's an awful lot of stuff going on. You want to talk about... Oh, I know. I did want to ask about the books of the Bible there for Mario. Mario, did they do some comparison studies in the first four books of the New Testament? Because I went through that once, and there's three books that are kind of similar, like is it Jesus of Nazareth or is it Bethlehem? Did you go through any of that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, it was the approach was very serious, you know, and very historical. As you know, there's a lot of canon, you know, but in terms of the Old Testament, the first four books are shared by the Methodist and the Catholic Church, and that's the way it was approached. You know, it's Mr. Campbell, I remember giving us this big. Chart, comparing the different canons, from the, Torah of the Jewish to the, the canon of the Arabs and the Protestants and the Catholic and different religions of the world that share the Bible. But they do have some differences in the listing of the different books that were accepted by the particular religions. So, we went through those comparisons, and, as I told you before, the approach was like a history class, but at the same time, what was more convincing was not so much whatever he said or the program of his class. What was convincing was his behavior, and his testimony. Towards his students, that's what I remember. I remember the most is the behavior and the testimony, the Christian testimony that those teachers had towards us as people and as Christians. And that's what we share. It was more, to me, Lydia Patterson is a school that more than the programs or the academic programs is that the experience, And it's wonderful because it's like a little oasis of peace in the middle of a very hectic work world that is a border, And you come in the morning, it may take you an hour and a half to get to your classroom, driving or walking or taking the bus from Juarez, facing the crossing of the bridge and the experiences that you live when you, cross every single day the bridge. Sometimes the treatment is not very good.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you come to your Bible class and it's everything is peace and it's congruent. The testimony is a beautiful testimony that those teachers gave to us.
Well,
what we remember.
If you've got a good teacher, that can be very inspiring. Adair, we got about a minute left before this break. Anything you want to add that takes a minute?
Well, one thing at the back appendix of my book, there is a note that was written to Jose Mario by the grandson of a Mexican revolutionary general named Luis Herrera Cano. But he talked, too, about his experiences of learning about ethical ways of living at that school and what he learned about sin. I mean, things that you learn about in the Bible. And with the way they illustrated it, like a plate of milk where you drop a drop of ink in it and then how it permeates all of the milk. It's very interesting the way they learn concepts of good and bad, and people from both sides of the revolution,
Adair, we're out of time on this hour. I'll talk to you again next hour. Sorry about that. Thanks a lot.
By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.